Good morning, and welcome to Lopes on Movies. My name is Joey Lopes, and today I am joined by the one, the only, Connor.
Good morning, Joey. How are you?
I'm great. How about you?
Good. It was a good Memorial Day, you know? What more can you say?
You know, I'm feeling like, you know, I'm going to declare it right now, live on this show, even though I guess it's not live when it's airing. But nevertheless, we're calling it live. This is the summer of Joe. I've decided I'm staking my claim in this summer. You know, I got a haircut over the weekend, and ever since then, I felt completely rejuvenated, ready to tackle the summer. We're going to get a lot of stuff done. We're going to watch a lot of movies, and it's just going to be a great time. You know, just watch this space. You know, this is going to be a big summer for your host here, you know. So
that's great. And there's a lot of there actually are a fair amount of movies that are coming out this year that I want to see.
Oh yeah, well what are you thinking? You know, what's kind of coming down the pipe here?
Well, let's see. There is some stuff that came from Cannes that does look interesting.
Oh, yes, the Cannes Film Festival, which just wrapped up the other day. I've been kind of halfway following this on Twitter. Because there are, people, film critics and stuff that go to Cannes and kind of, review the movies. But I never really understood that because it's, they're reviewing movies that nobody on Earth except for the people that went to this festival can see.
Right.
So it's like, why would I read this now? I'd rather wait to see if this movie is even going to get distribution in my country.
Well, I think that kind of changes how the distribution goes for certain movies, depending
right.
on how they do.
I think it's more valuable if somebody just says wow, that movie was pretty good. I hope that it gets distribution over here, because then I can just think, okay, I'll remember the name of that movie for later. But I don't know if somebody writes a 5-page review of some movie from Cannes. I don't care. I'll care in 5 months if I end up being able to see it.
No, yeah, I mean, there's nothing really to say. I don't know anything about these movies other than, I've seen other things by, these directors or by some of these actors that are in it.
A couple of big names in there. I think the guy that won the Palm is Ruben Östlund or something.
Yep.
He made a couple of movies. One movie, I don't know how to pronounce this in the French pronunciation. I think it's Force Majeure or something. You remember that movie? The movie about the... It's about a family where an avalanche happens and the father takes off, but then it turns out the avalanche didn't actually hurt anybody, so this family is now very dubious of him because he abandoned them in the middle of this avalanche.
Yeah, is that the one that they remade? That was they did an American remake.
They did, yeah. I think
Will
it had
Julia
Louis-Dreyfus. Yeah, and Will Ferrell. Yeah. Could you imagine watching that instead of watching the original?
No.
Oh my god.
No.
That
Absolutely
was such a
not.
Weird remake.
I mean, it did well. But yeah, another couple of big movies that are coming out is more big stuff from Korea. That's this seems to be taking over a lot of movie things. There's the movie called Decision to Leave that the director of Park Chan-wook won that. That's probably a big movie that's going to come out. He had a movie that came out not too long ago called Shoplifters that I saw. That I remember being really good character mm-hmm. story movie. And then there's another movie called Broker coming out of Korea also that stars Song Kang-ho, who is he won the Best Actor award at Cannes, and he's probably best known for his role in Parasite. He played the father in that one
of
the poor family. He's a huge actor in Korea, and
wasn't he was also in Memories of Murder, right?
He was a star of Memories of Murder. He was also in the other one. I'm trying to think of ones that people would know in the United States well. The train movie. What is that one called? What is that movie again?
Snowpiercer?
Yeah, I think he was in Snowpiercer too. Yeah.
Well, I don't even remember. But I believe it. I mean, that's another Bong Joon-ho movie.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So the Cannes Film Festival, usually a couple of things out of there will... We'll get wide distribution.
Yeah, and then if you want to go non-Cannes, because the other movie that we saw, the new movie, that we'll talk about soon, I thought there was some in there that I want to see. I want to see Jordan Peele's new movie. I think
Sure, I'll check it out.
I didn't really love his last one with the scissors. I can't even remember the title of that one. What was it called? Us. It was called Us. I didn't love Us, but I mean, Get Out is still great. Like, but yeah, I'll see the new one. It's called Nope.
Did you get the? Yeah. I'm wondering, did you get the weird BJ Novak movie trailer in your theater?
What is that?
Do you know who BJ Novak is?
I do, but what movie was that?
Okay, I was wondering if you got this, because like the trailers I got before the movie that we saw were very strange. There was like a weird animated kids film, which I was like, what is this doing here? But then there was also this weird BJ Novak movie where like he plays some guy who's not even really his ex-girlfriend, but some girl he had a fling with. She dies, and then her family thinks that she was like in a serious relationship with BJ Novak. So he like goes to the funeral and everything, and it's like they're talking about him like he was her boyfriend or husband or whatever. And then one of the family members like enlists BJ Novak to help him prove that she was murdered. So and he decides.
I did not get this one.
but there's more. And then he decides this is really weird, but I'm gonna go through with this and make a podcast about it. I'm gonna like interview a bunch of people, and it's gonna be like a true crime podcast where there probably wasn't a crime. I don't know what's going on here, man. There's too many layers, too many elements at play. It's also like a deep Texas movie, so it's got like all this, you know, like Texas culture stuff going on in there with the other characters. I don't know, man. That's why I'm saying. I was wondering if you got this, because I figured you would have noticed how strange and out of place this BJ Novak trailer was. But it written and directed, I think, by the man himself. Maybe not directed, certainly written, I think. Maybe directed. You know, he's a talented guy, that BJ Novak. Wow. I haven't seen anything that he's done except for The
Office.
When
you said the man himself, I thought you were going to be like, oh, this is a big director who directed this, and then it was just BJ Novak.
No, it's just him.
Oh, okay.
I guess it's a passion project. I don't know.
This sounds very, like, what was that weird movie that Joseph Gordon-Levitt directed himself?
Oh!
Like, it reminds
Don
me of that.
John?
Yeah, like, it reminds me of that kind of thing. Like, oh, I got a movie that I'm going to direct myself, and this is it. Like,
oh,
that kind
God,
of level.
Don John. Oh, wow, I forgot about Don John.
Well, you didn't, because you remembered it right away. I got a bunch of junk also, though, that I don't want to see. I mean, I don't want to see Jurassic World Dominion. That's out very soon. There was another one. What was the other one that I saw on there? Oh, the animated one. It looked like a ripoff of the Kung Fu Panda movie, but just worse. And that movie wasn't
little,
that good
bit.
Either.
Yeah,
that
yeah,
one,
yeah
I,
a little
I got
bit.
That one. That one didn't look like anything to me. The Elvis movie looked interesting, but you know, biopic.
No.
Probably terrible.
No. That's a Baz Luhrmann movie, Connor. And ever since I saw that Great Gatsby movie, he is forever on my pay no attention list. I am not going to see that Elvis movie because I know I will absolutely hate it.
Another one that is on the definitely not list is Thor: Love and Thunder. That was also one that I was subjected to.
Yeah. It's a Marvel movie. Not interested. It's for other people, not for me. Connor, you haven't really named many movies that you want to see.
I said I wanted to see the new Jordan Peele movie.
Yeah, that's like the one.
All right. I got excited with the Tom Cruise movie. Did you see the trailer for the new Mission Impossible that's coming out next year?
Oh, yeah, you know, the Mission Impossible movies, I haven't seen any of them.
You know, I've only seen like two. But this one, for some reason, just got me excited because I like seeing like a movie star.
Well, that's kind of a good segue into the actual movie that we're going to talk about today, which is, of course, Top Gun Maverick, the new Tom Cruise movie that just came out. And I think I was thinking about this when I went into the theater for this movie, which is that Tom Cruise, his reputation has had such an interesting kind of arc over the years, you know, because like I feel like for most of his career, when he first kind of came onto the scene, he was pretty much universally beloved, And then at some point, the Scientology thing crept in and the Oprah chair thing, you know, jumping on the couch thing checked in. This is probably like a little after Minority Report, maybe like around the time of like War of the Worlds and after. I feel like he went into, I don't want to say a slump, because he didn't really make that many like terrible movies in here, but his reputation was one of like, this guy is a lunatic, is an insane person, you know. And we weren't really talking about his acting that much in like the mid-2000s. But then, you know, Edge of Tomorrow comes out and everyone's starting to love Tom Cruise again, because he was great in Edge of Tomorrow and that was a good movie, right? And that was like 2014 or something. So now we're in a period where, and I think this is partially also because everybody misses movie stars so much, that anytime like Tom Cruise comes out with one of these like Mission Impossible movies, or in this case Top Gun, which is of course a, you know, legacy sequel to one of his most iconic performances, everybody is paying attention. Everybody like is rooting for him because they love movie stars, and Tom Cruise is a movie star. You know, with a capital M, he's like one of the great movie stars. So yeah, like he's currently in what I would consider a, maybe not a resurgence because he never really went away, but everybody loves Tom Cruise now. You know, like, yes, he is insane and a lunatic, but everybody pretty much loves Tom Cruise. Would you agree with that? I think that's pretty accurate.
I've never not loved Tom Cruise. Like, he's been my guy forever. I stuck through him through
the whole time. Thick and thin.
I mean, like, when people were down on him, I was like, he was still coming out with stuff that I really liked. I remember he did like the cameo in Tropic Thunder that I really liked.
Thunder was a big like positive thing in that mid-2000s era. I think everybody loved his performance in Tropic Thunder.
Yeah, I mean,
he's good in War of the Worlds too. Like, it's not like he was making bad movies. I just think that he kind of had a reputation as a lunatic for a while.
Yeah, I mean,
which he still does, but like people are kind of like ignoring that now just because they love him so much in movies.
Yeah, I don't care. I don't care anything about anything else about him. It doesn't matter. He's just
Me neither.
His movies are good, and he's very good at like picking stuff that are really good for him to be in. Like, I think it's very rare to find something that he's in that he's not good in. Pretty much every single movie I've seen of his is like decent, at least, you know, bare minimum. Yeah. You know, like,
he's made some garbage out there, but like, I mean, like The Mummy or whatever, but like, he's still just his screen presence is, you know, unmatched. He's Tom Cruise. You go to a Tom Cruise movie to see Tom Cruise.
I completely forgot about The Mummy.
Well, you know, so did the people at Universal trying to make the Dark Universe cinematic universe. Mm. So you're not alone. good times. No, it's better off that Tom Cruise continues doing these like Mission Impossible type movies.
Jack Reacher.
Jack Reacher.
You like Jack Reacher.
So the funny thing is, I think that the last Tom Cruise movie that I saw was the Jack Reacher sequel, Jack Reacher Never Go Back, which I didn't... I think we talked about this on our previous podcast. We talked about Jack Reacher Never Go Back, and I'm pretty sure I was just like, yeah, it was good. I loved it. Great movie.
I don't think you went that over the
like,
top.
Like, I was like, you know, like gritting my teeth, like begrudgingly saying that I liked it. it was all right. You know, I don't really have like, you know, super fond memories of it, but he was good. It was a fine little.
He was good.
He was
perfectly. It wasn't Edge of Tomorrow though. Like, that movie was legitimately really good.
Edge of Tomorrow is really like. Edge of Tomorrow is like a perfect Tom Cruise blockbuster action movie. You know, that's exactly what you want out of a Tom Cruise movie, I think. But this one, you know, Top Gun Maverick, I didn't really, I didn't go to see this because I have fond memories of Top Gun. I've never seen Top Gun. I don't know if that's sacrilegious to people. I think like my impression of Top Gun is that it's not really well remembered as a great movie, more so as it was just kind of a cultural thing. You know, like, it was a big thing in culture. It was a huge recruitment tool for the military. And it made, you know, flying planes and, you know, fighter jets look super awesome, which, of course, in movies it is, you know, no question about it. So I never it just hasn't really been on my radar as a movie that I was like really desperate to watch. Have you seen Top Gun?
No, I haven't, but I know it through, like, culture.
Yeah, and exactly.
My friends have always loved it.
Such a big movie, you know, from just, like, history. And Tom Cruise, his performance in it and just his character, I think, is very much in the culture for sure. So this movie, this kind of like legacy sequel thing is usually not my like. I'm usually not thinking, oh man, I got to see one of these. But again, it's Tom Cruise, and you know that with something like this, he poured his entire being into it to get it made in the best possible way, the most authentic possible way, too. You know, actually filming those fighter jets and doing some like insane special effects, and you know, also just giving a very Tom Cruise kind of performance. You know, very committed and serious. Like, I had to see this. I had to. You know, I wasn't going to skip this just because it's a fraudulent sequel made like, you know, 30 years later. But you know, we saw Top Gun Maverick. Actually, this was directed by Joseph Kosinski. I wanted to mention this too. Joseph Kosinski is a filmmaker that I never really thought I had very strong feelings about. But I'm realizing that I've seen every one of his feature films that he's made, which is actually not that many. So his first like feature was Tron Legacy, if you remember that. This is a movie that like some people adore that movie.
I think music.
Well, they like the music. They like the kind of cool visuals or whatever. Maybe it's a movie you see in IMAX or something. I remember seeing that in theaters and thinking just nothing of it whatsoever. And of course, you know, Daft Punk music, whatever. That's great. Love it. Cool, whatever. His next movie after that was Oblivion with Tom Cruise, of course. You remember that, the sci-fi movie Oblivion?
I did see that.
I say I saw it. I feel like it's more like I like half remember sort of watching it on my TV in my apartment in college, kind of like half watching it and half falling asleep. Not a great movie. Did not love it. But then he, a couple years later, he directed a movie called Only the Brave. Do you remember this movie?
I do remember, like, but I didn't see it. Was this the firefighter one?
Yeah, it was about the guys who fight wildfires. Miles Teller was actually in that, you know, Top Gun Maverick connection here. And I actually liked that movie. I thought it was a pretty well done, pretty well done story. So I guess in hindsight, you know, I'm kind of a Joseph Kosinski expert.
You've seen them all.
Absolutely not. But Top Gun Maverick, certainly, you know, in his wheelhouse, the kinds of things that this guy seems to gravitate towards, I think, kind of like special effects, you know, spectacle type of thing. So, yeah, you know, Connor, what did you think of this? Because as somebody who's just, both of us have never seen Top Gun, really, you know, we're kind of going into this blind.
Yeah, we are, but I mean, you definitely don't need to see the original to get what exactly is going on. But I thought it was great. Like, I thought I was very entertained by it. I also saw it on at the Dolby Theater, like in, like the 32nd Street, I guess, the AMC theater there. So beautiful screen, great sound, fully immersed. The story, very simple, of course. Like, I mean, you get everything that you need from the stuff that happens in the first one, and then you get what's happening here. This the sheer like visual spectacle that you are seeing in this is incredible. I would say, like, there's no other way around it. Like, I mean, I don't know. I mean, if you try to throw water, like, or is that the saying, throw water on this? I'll be very, very ticked.
What, you think I'm gonna try to, like, you know, just go in here and say this movie was garbage?
Well, I don't know what you're gonna say.
Oh, come on, Connor. I had a great time with Top Gun Maverick.
Oh, good. I'm so
glad. I wouldn't have it any other way. I had a wonderful time with this here movie. It's a movie about a mission, you know, a classic kind of movie where right in the beginning of the movie they tell you we need to do something that's impossible to do, but we have to do it. And then the rest of the movie is them training to do this impossible thing. And then the climax is them doing the impossible thing. You know, it's like a heist movie. You know, like, heist movies are like that. This kind of movie is like that. I love movies like that. You know, like, because it's like you're always anticipating the big mission, you know? And along the way, you get the characters, you see how they interact, you see what they're what their deal is, you know, and it's a perfect little structure. But of course, it's just a you know, framework for all the special effects, which are fantastic. It's a true spectacle. This is a theater movie too. You know, glad to see that it's been like, it's been doing very well in theaters, actually. Like, it's definitely been getting people to see it. It was very crowded in our theater, and it's in the middle of the afternoon. So, it's fantastic. No, I had a great time.
When was this movie filmed? Because they definitely made, like, a conscious decision to wait for this to be allowed to go into theaters.
This would have come out in 2020, I think.
Right.
I'm pretty sure that was it kind of did the opposite of Tenet, right? Where Christopher Nolan was like, I want to get this movie out to be, like, you know, the first movie you can see during the pandemic, right? And ultimately, that did not work out at all for that movie at all. You know, it was kind of a disaster. But this movie was a different story, where they were like, you know, we're gonna wait this out until we can give this movie the kind of showing it deserves, right? And it totally worked out. You know,
I think Top Gun would have suffered a similar fate to Tenet, and I wish Tenet was able to come out at a, like, you know, like this. They should have pushed it. I mean, really. Like, I mean, the movie is great, and Tom Cruise is so awesome. The main lead is Miles Teller, who I love to hate, but also just have to, like, admit that I pretty much enjoyed, like, most of the things I've seen him in. But I think
I like Miles Teller.
I do like him. I think he's really good, and he's really great in this too, as playing like the son of his former, like, I guess, like, wingman, right? Yeah. Goose from the original. Mm-hmm. So there's that dynamic of those two, and he's great in it. Like, really, all the characters are really great in it. Like, even like the hotshot guy who's in that, who's like totally hateable.
Glenn Powell plays that guy. A hangman.
Hangman is, because he leaves his wingman behind.
No, this is a great movie. If you like, one of my favorite character types in movies is just like the guys that are just jerks, that are just, like, you know, the worst. This is a great movie for guys to hate. You know, John Hamm plays the perfect just like guy who just gives Tom Cruise no leeway whatsoever. He's totally by the book. Every decision he makes is like a terrible decision. He's like, but like, John Hamm was born to play characters like that, you know?
He really was.
He's so good in that. It's like Richard Jewell. Remember him in that? And it's very kind of similar, like, he has this kind of intensity to him. It's like, man, I hate this guy.
You know, I gotta tell you, that's like the perfect usage of John Hamm. I feel like he's really found like his niche of being like, this amount of screen time for him is like perfect. You know, he's in a ton of movies like in this kind of capacity where he's just like there, but you always notice him, and it's like a perfect amount.
perfect. And you were talking about Glenn Powell, another great jerk. He's just like super cocky. He's got the look on his face sometimes where he's just like smiling with that vapid, like,
oh my gosh,
it's like scary looking at him. You know, he looks like he's insane practically. All the characters are good. It's definitely got that kind of like macho bonding thing going on between all of these fighter pilots. Cause the basic plot of the movie is that there's this impossible mission that they have to round up the best fighter pilots in the country to potentially pull this off. Or they have to like kind of bomb this station that the enemy that is never named, just called the enemy, is going to be depositing like uranium or something, which is going to cause problems for our allies in the region. All very vague, because it doesn't matter. It's just an excuse to have a mission. Yeah. So that's the basic plot. So like the main characters of the movie are all of these, you know, hotshot fighter pilots who are being trained by the legendary Maverick himself, which who is of course Tom Cruise. It's a nice, you know, there's a really good tweet that I saw about this, where, you know, these kinds of movies are like these legacy sequels, or you always hear them being about the passing of the torch, you know.
Yes.
It's like you have like
which by the way, I was very worried about this having that happen.
Well, yeah, that's what I wanted to say, which is like the these movies always have that thing where like the old actors are in there to pass it off to the new generation, so the new generation can, you know, make a million sequels with them and not have to worry about the old cast. It's you know, a movie. It's almost entirely a like financial thing. It's like you move on from the old cast, bring in the new cast, and then hopefully you can continue making movies with them. But in a way that honors the original. It's all very like corporate and, you know, whatever. This, in this movie, Tom Cruise very graciously passes the torch to himself.
Yes, and thank goodness for that too,
which is all I wanted to see. You know, I came here to see Tom Cruise, you know, fly a fighter jet and pull off an impossible mission. You know, I didn't come here to see Miles Teller do it. Even though I like Miles Teller, but like, you know, I'm here for Tom. I'm here for Cruise.
Exactly, and I mean Cruise gets the love interest. They brought Jennifer Connelly back. I guess she was in the original. I mean, I assume she must have been because she
was...
Well,
they talk about her like she was in the original. I don't know if she was, though, because I'm pretty sure the love interest is a different character in the...
Oh, well, then maybe she was in the original. I don't know.
I don't know. She's good. I like Jennifer. It was good seeing her again. It's been a while since I've seen Jennifer Connelly in something, now that I think about it.
Yeah, I mean, she was good, but they had, you know, I guess he gets the love interest. This is a Tom Cruise movie, for sure, through and through.
Yeah.
Her inclusion was a little... I guess it felt a little tacked on. I mean, I guess you needed something to like show that he's got like some kind of like emotional tie, right? I guess.
I was fine with it. No,
I was fine with it too.
All fine.
Hey, the whole thing was fine. I like what they did with Val Kilmer too. Like having
good to
him
see him in a movie
coming back. Know? He was the Iceman in the original. I want to see the original Top Gun now. I just think that there's no way that it could be quite as good as this one that I saw, just because so much of what's so great about this movie is just like watching, like, and I'll tell you, the viewing that I had of it was just incredible. Of just like, you feel like you're in the cockpit, like moving and jerking around, like going up, making the moves. It like, it's fully immersive.
Big screen experience. You know,
yeah, I don't know if the original could do that for me, watching on my tiny, like, you know, screen.
No,
I don't think so.
It definitely wouldn't be the same experience. But you know, this is almost like not that much to say about it. There's like more detail we could go into. But at the end of the day, like, this is, you know, did you get the Tom Cruise introduction before?
Of course,
the movie?
I did. And you know what? I'm loving this like introduction thing now. This is not the first one of those that I've seen of like the director or the actor like welcoming you to the movie.
So like, Tom Cruise comes on screen and is like, you know, guys, this was a real labor of love, and I hope you guys enjoy it. We made it for you. I was like, thanks, Tom. I appreciate you you coming in here with your excitement to get me excited for the movie. You know, I'll take it. I'm excited. I'm ready to go. You know, I was in a good mood as soon as the movie started, and it lasted the whole duration. You know,
oh,
great climax, great spectacle. It's a real theater movie. You got to go to the theater to see it. You'll have a great time if you do.
100%. Great intro. Also, get you juiced for it right at the beginning.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Yeah, I mean, the movie's excellent.
Ed Harris appearance just for a little bit. But just there to make an impression, you know.
I love
great.
Ed Harris. He's my favorite, like, mean, old, crotchety man. He's been doing that role for the past, like, 50 years, you know? Like, I saw him in Truman Show, like, recently, and he was playing that. Like, how long ago did that movie come out? He was playing the same character, you know, in everything he's in.
Love him. Love Ed Harris.
Yep. It's great.
It's great. Go see Top Gun Maverick. You know, this is definitely a... if there's any movie that feels like... there's a lot of people that say, like, oh, I only want to go to the movies for, you know, like a big spectacle-type movie. So they don't go to see, like, indie movies. They only go to see movies of spectacle. See this. You know, if that's, like, your bar line for going to the movies, you will not be disappointed with this. No doubt. I certainly wasn't.
No, 100%. I honestly, this movie should get, like, this is one of the best movies I've seen this year. Like, not even close.